Chapter 3. The drive back to Ada's place was fairly uneventful. Even though it was only early afternoon, I was completely fucking exhausted, and my eyes drooped as I drove down the bustling streets of Cincinnati. Thankfully, my four friends kept the conversation lively, and that prevented me from accidentally drifting off at the wheel and crashing. They talked about how exciting it was that we'd found a loophole for so-called immortal creatures, about the last round of renovations that Cincy's Jewel was undergoing, and there was even a side tangent where Ada went off and talked for 20 minutes about the importance of where a watch was crafted. Before long, I saw Ada's club stretched out before us, so I turned into the parking lot, found one of the employee spaces, and killed the engine. Then I let out a long yawn as I stretched, and the four women just looked at me curiously.
"Are you all right, Carter?"
Leah asked, as she glanced down at her smartwatch.
"It's the middle of the day."
I know.
But one thing I've noticed is these quick transformations between my human and werepanther forms are really taking it out of me. Like, before, it took a little longer to transform back into a human, but I felt fine afterwards. Now? I feel like I just woke up from a nap on a hay mattress.
"That's how magic works, my friend."
Naomi shrugged.
"Particularly black magic. There's always a trade-off of some sort. That's why the Sisters of the New Moon were turned into elderly women when they started using it, and that's probably why it makes you tired when you transform back and forth at will."
"Consider yourself lucky,"
Janine said with a shudder, as she slipped out of the Hummer.
"I've read some accounts of people losing their vision, fertility, or libido completely when they use black magic, as well as one particularly gruesome account from the Renaissance in which a man had his entire body turned inside out when he fucked up a black magic spell."
"That's horrifying," I said with a half smirk. "Losing your libido? That's a fate worse than death."
"You joke,"
Ada said.
"But it's true. Just imagine if you didn't have that 24/7 sex machine engine you do. There'd be no way you could satisfy all of your lovely ladies, and you certainly would struggle to get us pregnant, too."
"You're the only one here that's trying to get pregnant,"
Janine rolled her eyes.
"The rest of us have all taken measures to make sure we won't be."
"Werepanther sea, loves?"
The succubus clicked her tongue.
"There is nothing stronger in the world. Moral medicines and hexes cast by amateur spellcasters don't stack up at all."
"Amateur?"
Naomi grumbled.
"Tough words coming from somebody who barely has any magical powers."
"I never claimed to be anything more than an amateur."
Ada shrugged.
"My magic certainly won't stop his seed either. Not that I would want to in the first place."
"Enough about pregnancies and Carter's seed. I'm more bummed out we can't tell anyone about what we just did."
"Why not? If I were Carter, I would be announcing this accomplishment from the rooftops for all to hear. Carter Hatfield, the mighty werepanther, has bested an immortal."
"No, Leah's right." I shook my head. "We can't tell anybody. Because as cool as it would be to tell everybody I defeated an immortal golem, that's going to get them speculating."
"Speculating?"
The witch raised an eyebrow.
"Isn't that usually a good thing? Tell tales and all that?"
"Not in this case. Think about it, Naomi. Most of my enemies will probably just assume I was able to actually kill the fucker, and they'll be shitting themselves in fear of my power. But there's going to undoubtedly be somebody out there who puts two and two together and figures out he's probably just imprisoned somewhere. Then they'll most likely go looking for him, and it wouldn't take a genius to figure out the Ohio is a good place to dump a creature like that. It's easier to just keep our mouths shut and hope nobody notices the fucker's gone."
"Does a golem even have friends? Or a boss? Somebody had to summon him at one point,"
Janine explained.
"But based on the way he was talking, it sounded like he'd been around for a long time. So what probably happened was his master either lost control over him or died years ago."
"And the golem wouldn't have died with his master?"
"Not necessarily,"
Naomi chimed in.
"If something is imbued with enough power or magic, it can take on a life of its own."
"Well, either way, he's gone." I sighed, and then I let out a yawn.
"And I'm exhausted."
"I don't have time to be exhausted, unfortunately,"
Janine said, as she glanced at her cell phone.
"I've got class in about an hour. Paranormal photography with Dr. Hansen." "Oh, shit!"
Leah gasped and covered her mouth with her hand.
"Feinstein wanted me at the lab at 3 today, and I totally forgot. Could you drive me to campus, Janine?"
"Is that really a question? I would be a pretty shitty friend if I didn't." "I'm glad I never got into the college scene,"
Naomi grunted.
"It sounds like a total fucking bore."
"That sounds like the words of a person who's never found their passion,"
Janine smiled.
I could spend hours and hours in the library looking up research or talking to Dr. Hansen about new developments in the paranormal archaeology fields. It's far from a bore. It's an absolute delight.
I'm the same way when I'm in the lab.
Leah nodded.
Feinstein can be a grating bitch sometimes, but she's a brilliant fucking scholar, and she's taught me more than I could have ever hoped to learn on my own.
I'm independently wealthy.
Ada shrugged.
I didn't really need school at all.
Well, lucky you,
Leah said as she stuck out her tongue at the succubus.
We'll come back after classes are over,
Janine promised, and then she pulled her own keys out from the pockets of her ripped jeans.
Don't wait up on us.
Trust me, I said through another yawn.
There's not going to be anything to catch up on. I plan on marching right up into bed, throwing myself under the covers, and sleeping this off for the next few hours.
Don't sleep too long,
Janine warned with a pointed finger.
You'll completely mess up your sleep cycle. Trust me, all those nights in the library, studying until the sun came up, I was up until 3 a.m. every night for weeks, Carter. Weeks.
I'll be careful, I promised with a chuckle. You guys be safe driving to class. Also be sure to—
We know.
Leah said as she pulled the tiger's eye amulet out from under her blouse and held it in front of her face.
Keep this on our person at all times, no matter what. We know the drill by now, Carter.
I'm actually warming up to mine.
Naomi smirked as she tugged her own amulet out and twirled it around her finger. She'd made one for herself not long after she joined our band of misfits.
You don't have to worry about it. We can both handle ourselves, especially against a bunch of sorry losers like the OLG.
It's not even them I'm worried about. I'm more concerned about all the weird-ass monsters that they summon out of seemingly thin air. Those are the ones you gotta watch out for.
Well, I can't even find my own schedule on the school's website.
Janine shrugged.
If any OLG cultists can find a comprehensive list of my classes, I'd love for them to tell me how.
Just be careful. I chuckled, and Janine and Leah nodded before they headed over to her old Pontiac Grand Prix. What about you two? I asked Ada and Naomi as we began to walk toward the door of the nightclub. Please tell me I'm not going to be the only one to take a lazy Tuesday.
I'm afraid that might be the case. I have a meeting with Becca and Valerie later this afternoon for some corporate training.
More? Ugh. I thought you already taught them everything they needed to know about their jobs at orientation.
That was simply an introduction.
The succubus grinned.
This is a meeting about creating corporate synergy strategies between my club and Cincy's Jewel.
Do we really need synergies? We own both of them.
They are two independently operated corporations with their own unique branding.
Ada continued as she shook her head.
Thus, they are two separate entities.
Good lord,
Naomi said with a scowl.
You actually like doing that shit, don't you?
Love it.
Ada clapped her hands together.
Why do you think I got into this business in the first place, after thousands of years of soul-searching and trying to figure out what I wanted to do with the rest of my life? If only we were all so lucky.
Naomi snorted. What about you? Surely you don't have any big plans.
One, that's rude to just assume I don't.
Naomi furrowed her brow and glared at me.
In fact, I was going to head down to the theater on the north side of town. They're doing a Nightmare on Elm Street marathon tonight, but only up to Freddy's Dead. I was hoping maybe you'd join me.
I'd love to, Naomi, I said with an apologetic wince. But there is no way I can sit through 8 hours of movies right now. I'd probably be asleep before the opening credits on the first one, and that would be a huge waste of time and money.
Your loss.
Naomi shrugged.
Speaking of which, can I borrow one of those yellow Hummers at the lounge?
Knock yourself out. I nodded. They belonged to Div's security fleet before, so I have no need for 10 of the damn things. You can have it for yourself if you really want it.
Really?
The witch gasped as she stopped in her tracks, and her dark eyes went wide.
You'd give me a car?
I know it's going to a good home. And like I said, we don't need them all anyways. It's all yours.
Hell yes.
Naomi fist pumped.
I haven't had my own vehicle since I was in high school.
How have you been getting around the city? Cincy's public transport isn't the greatest.
Coven carpools.
The witch smirked.
I was just never the driver.
Of course, the Sisters of the New Moon carpooled. They may have been a bloodthirsty, ancient god-worshipping cult that wanted to end the world as we knew it, but putting more pollutants into the air? That apparently was where they drew the line.
You can come with me then, love. It sounds like we both need to get to Cincy's Jewel anyways.
Check on Paul and Tony while you're there, I said as the two women turned and started to walk away. I know these aren't really our busy hours, but I don't want them to get overwhelmed by a rush or anything.
I don't think Paul would let it come to that.
The succubus snickered.
He'd probably post himself at the door and tell everybody who showed up to piss off so we could get back to his Sudoku or crossword puzzles in peace.
The three of us walked up to the door of the nightclub, which was still completely wide open from earlier. Shit. We probably should have shut that.
Why? Nobody could break in.
The door's wide open. Of course they could.
But if they were going to break in, then they would be somebody who wished to do us harm, right?
The succubus asked with a half-smile.
The spell wouldn't let them in at all.
What if they didn't come here with the intention of robbing us, though? I asked the hypothetical. Then, once they realized how easy it would be, they changed their minds once they were inside.
Then the spell would take effect. They would then be seen as people who wished to do us harm, and they would be ejected from the premises immediately. The only people who could get in would be those who just wanted to come into the club for a fun time anyways, and they're completely harmless.
Well, at least remember to shut it on your way out, and let me know how things are going at Cincy's Jewel. I said, as I gave them each a kiss and then made my way to the stairwell. If I'm still passed out when you get back, just come upstairs and wake me, okay? Janine's right, I don't need to sleep all day.
Will do, love.
Ada's voice answered. I headed up the simple black staircase to the second floor of the nightclub. This section had been retrofitted to be the succubus's living space, as well as her playground for all of our potential sexual adventures. But right now, I only wanted one thing, and one thing only. The frickin' bed. My eyes were practically drooping shut when I finally entered the large bedroom, and my sights were set purely on the giant, California-sized king bed that laid at its center. I took a running jump onto the soft bed, scurried up so my head was against the pillow, and pulled the covers over my body. Then I shut my eyes and thought nothing but happy, pleasant thoughts as I drifted off to sleep, and within seconds I was out like a light. The next thing I knew, the sound of footsteps echoed outside of my room. Fuck, I grumbled as I opened my eyes. Ada, are you guys back already? However, when I tried to sit up and look around the room, I couldn't. I attempted to slide my lower half over the side of the bed so I could stand up, but my body wouldn't obey, and panic began to wash over me. I couldn't even do simple movements like wiggle my toes or make a fist with my hands. I was completely paralyzed, aside from my eyeballs and mouth. Suddenly, I felt a strange sensation against my chest, as if something was pressing down on me from above and hindering my efforts to breathe. I took a few long, hard breaths as the pressure intensified, but there was nothing I could do at the moment. That's when I saw the shadow out of the corner of my eye, and I tried to look over in its direction.
Carter.
A creepy, ethereal voice echoed through the room.
Wake up, Carter.
Who's there? Whatever you've done to me, I suggest you knock it off right now.
Carter.
The voice continued, and then the figure appeared in the corner of my room. I saw a short, squat woman standing there, wearing a tattered robe that looked like it was pulled out of a Charles Dickens novel. Her long white hair was greasy as it traveled down her body and laid across it in all directions, and her skin was completely covered with dirt, scabs, and warts. Her eyes and her smile were both bone white, and she stared at me with pure, devilish glee as her pale gaze cut through the darkness. The old woman tilted her head to the side in a short, choppy motion as she studied me, and then she began to cackle softly. Who are you? I growled. And how the fuck did you get past the protective spell? The woman didn't answer. Instead, she just stood there in the corner, with her eyes as wide as dinner plates. And she started to pivot her head back and forth from left to right, as her crooked, dirty smile grew even wider. Then she started to fucking sing, in a language that sounded like garbled Germanic, and a chill shot through my spine as goosebumps appeared all over my body. The old hag continued to smile and tilt her head back and forth as she slowly walked toward my bed, and the pressure on my chest grew even tighter. I tried once more to break free of whatever enchantment she had me under, but I was stuck, and she was getting closer by the second.
Hello, Carter.
The old woman giggled without changing her petrified expression.
Nice to finally meet you.
Who the fuck are you? You better start talking or... Before I could finish my sentence, the old woman turned into a blur of dark shadow, and the blur zipped over to my bed and stopped right on my chest. Then, as the old hag became visible once again, the pain in my chest increased tenfold.
We're going to have so much fun with you, Carter.
The old hag cooed, and she leaned in so her face was right up against mine. Even though this woman was old and dirty, with rotted teeth and greasy hair, I couldn't smell her whatsoever. Usually my werepanther nose could pick up a single bit of pollen on a bee's leg, but it was drawing a complete blank at the moment. The old woman continued to giggle as she slowly walked her fingers up my right shoulder, and then stopped right at my Adam's apple. Her expression then fell as her eyes narrowed, and she wrapped her bony fingers around my throat. She began to squeeze, and I felt an intense pressure around my neck that I knew could crush me in an instant. That's when the werepanther decided to take over. I saw a flash of black light surround my body as my legs and arms nearly doubled in length, and I sensed my snout and my canines expanding. The old hag simply tilted her head to the left and watched as I transformed, but her expression remained unchanged. She just kept on squeezing my throat, and now my vision was starting to tunnel. Luckily, my werepanther side was much stronger than my human side, and her hex didn't seem to be effective against me now. I snarled as I unsheathed the claws in my top paws and promptly slammed them together right into the shoulders of the old hag. She let out an inhuman, demonic hiss when I touched her, and then she yelled when I launched her across the room. The old hag slammed into a nearby wall with a dull thud and collapsed down onto the floor, so I quickly rolled out of bed, got down on all fours, and prepared to attack. The old hag didn't seem frazzled at all, though. She stood up, tilted her head to the right, and then started to fucking laugh. She didn't move, and she didn't even seem to think about doing a counterattack. I leapt forward as I opened my mouth and prepared to crush this bitch's head like a watermelon, but she still didn't move. Instead, the old hag simply disappeared into a puff of dark smoke, right as my jaws clamped shut where she'd been standing. Her laugh echoed throughout the room as I looked around for her frantically, but it was no use. The laugh faded within seconds, and she was gone. I stayed in my werepanther form for several more minutes before finally I realized the coast was clear. Then I summoned the black magic back around my body, turned myself human again, and cautiously walked back over to the bed to sit my ass down. Fuck, I had no idea what had just attacked me, but I knew it was bad news. The damn thing could get into the club without any repercussions from Naomi's spell, which meant it was probably some sort of monster that defied all laws of physics and space-time as we knew it. Which was just what we needed right now. Meanwhile, I was still fucking exhausted. I didn't know quite how long I had been asleep before, but it definitely wasn't enough. Not to mention the fact that I had just gone through the back-and-forth transformations in rapid succession, which made me even more tired. I didn't want to sleep, though. If that thing was going to come back, I wanted to be 100% awake and ready to kill it. So I simply sat there and waited. And waited. And waited. Finally, I felt my eyes start to get heavy once more. I fought off the sensation of sleep for as long as I could, but eventually the Sandman won. My eyes fell shut and I collapsed back onto the soft bed.
Carter?
I heard a voice ask.
Carter, are you...
I instantly sat up in bed and threw my hand around the intruder's throat. But my heart fell when I saw it was just Ada.
Shit!
I gasped as I let go of the succubus.
I'm sorry, Ada. I thought you were somebody else.
It's quite all right, love.
Ada winked.
Everybody could use a bit of choking now and again.
I don't know what came over me.
I shook my head and sighed. Actually, yes, I do. I was sleeping scared.
Scared? You? What could you possibly be scared of? Nobody can get into the club with Naomi's hex surrounding it.
That's what I thought, too. But there was somebody... No, something in this room.
The succubus's face fell as she raised one of her dark eyebrows, and then she looked around curiously.
Are you sure you didn't have a bad dream? I would normally be inclined to believe you, love, but I'm not seeing any signs of somebody in this room, and I trust Naomi when she says her spell is airtight.
There was somebody in here. Some freaky-looking old bitch with white eyes who tried to choke me out. And I don't know what the bitch did to me, but I couldn't move at all until I turned into my werepanther form.
Wait.
Ada trailed off as her eyes narrowed.
Did this old woman stand on your chest as well?
Yeah. How did you know?
We should go talk to Janine,
the succubus said, before she cleared her throat.
She's always much better at explaining this sort of stuff. I'm more of a show-don't-tell girl.
But you know what that was. The creature that tried to choke me out?
I believe so,
Ada said with a troubled expression.
I want Janine to confirm, though. The old hag is a very, very common form that appears to people in the middle of the night, and she almost always does exactly what you are talking about.
I stood from my bed before I went over to the dresser and gathered up some clothes to replace the ones that had been torn off my body. Then I picked up a simple sweatshirt and a pair of jeans, which I tossed over myself in a hurry before I turned to follow Ada. The two of us walked out of the bedroom and then down the stairs, where we found Leah and Janine sitting at the bar chit-chatting. As Ada and I approached, our two teammates turned and gave us warm smiles.
Naomi wasn't up there with you?
Leah asked.
We thought you two surely were going to use the opportunity to be alone for, well, other purposes.
She's at a movie marathon. The, Clawman movies.
Nightmare on Elm Street. I corrected.
Right. We've got some bigger problems around here, though. Tell them what you saw, Carter.
Leah and Janine frowned in unison as they turned their attention to me, and I went into as much detail of the encounter as I possibly could. I even got down to the nitty-gritty details like how the old hag had no smell and could seemingly dash around at the speed of light. Leah sat there and listened to the story with pure intrigue plastered to her face. Janine, on the other hand, seemed to lose all color in her cheeks, and her bottom lip started to tremble. And then it disappeared into a puff of shadow, I said as I finished the story.
Dear God.
Janine trailed off.
So, you think it is him?
Ada asked the redhead.
I had my suspicions, but I wanted to run it by you first.
Who? I grumbled. You two are both acting really weird about this whole thing. What's going on?
Carter.
Janine said in a trembling voice, and her chocolate brown eyes were wide behind her glasses.
You just had a run-in with the Shadow Man, one of the most dangerous beings in the universe.